Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Today we're starting a new series. We're calling it Growing Small. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking in the Bible at some things that are referred to as being small. And sort of just going through some of those verses and going through some of those concepts and seeing what God says about certain things that are small things. And today I want us to look at a passage, a couple of passages, but one main passage. I want us to look at a passage that we refer to often. I have heard many sermons on this passage. And honestly, I was thinking this week, I don't know that I have ever preached a sermon on this passage. Anywhere, at any time. I may have referenced the passage, but I want us to look in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. It says, he said to them, that's Jesus, saying to the disciples, because of your little faith. Now I'm going to put it in context in just a moment. Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. A passage at a different time, it's a different situation, found in the book of Luke, chapter 17, a very similar idea. This is Luke 17, verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, there's this old saying when it comes to sin, you may have heard it. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you intend to stay. Have you ever heard that saying? Well, I think something very similar could be said of faith. Faith will take you places you did not even think you would go, to do things you would not even think could be done, for the glory of one that is beyond us, and that's Jesus. Because I think so often when we think about faith, we don't really understand, and I know that I'm still learning, everything that God tells us about the practice of faith. And there in Matthew 17, Jesus says, if you had faith as a mustard seed. Now, we often see, at least I do, a lot of t-shirts and posters and some businesses. There's nothing wrong with naming your business Mustard Seed. I know of some businesses that have named their company. It's Mustard Seed because we started with just a little bit of faith and God is blessed. And we talk about if you just have faith like a mustard seed. And so many times I think we use that and we use it in a good way. And I'm not saying it's bad, but I am saying when you take it in the original context, Jesus was not a happy camper at this moment. He was rebuking his disciples at this moment. He was saying something very specific to them that I believe that we so often miss. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, you've probably heard me give my working definition of faith. We talk about faith being the four R's. Someone remember what these are? Anybody? Nobody. Well, thanks. That's encouraging. It is on. Okay. Just checking. The four R's. Let me give you the first two and see if you remember the other two, all right? Receiving a report and responding rightly, all right? Receiving a report and then responding rightly, responding in the right way. That's the four R's. Receiving a report and responding in the right way. What does that mean? Well, it means that we receive from God his word. We receive a report from God, and then we must respond in the right way. Those two things together makes faith. If I haven't received a report, it's not faith. If I don't respond in the right way, it's not faith. We receive a report, and then we respond in the right way. The example you may have heard me give and forgotten, but If I were up on a rooftop and it was nighttime and there's smoke billowing all around me, and I step to the edge of the roof line and I peer down into the darkness and the smoke and I can't see the ground, and I say, I'm just going to believe there's someone down there to catch me. I'm going to step off this roof, throw my arms out, close my eyes, throw my arms out, step off the roof, and if I just have enough faith, I believe I'll be okay. That's not faith. That's dumb and dangerous, as most dumb things are. That's not faith. Why? Because I haven't received a report. But if I hear some people who say, listen, we're down here, and it's a group of people are down here, people that you know, people that you love, people that you trust, and they say, we can see you, but you can't see us, and all you have to do is step off. We've got a great big net down here, and we're going to catch you. All you have to do is step off exactly where you are, and I respond, that's faith. I've received a report, and now I respond in the right way. That is the essence of faith. This is why James says, faith without works is dead. Faith leads me to action. Faith leads me to the right response. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I'm not in the Word of God, I'm not going to practice faith in the right way, because I have to know what God says in order to depend upon God's Word. Which brings us back to this passage in Matthew chapter 17. What is Jesus saying? Well, if we back up and we look at it in context, we find that a man had brought his son to the disciples. He brings his son to the disciples to be healed. He has some sort of demonic possession or oppression, and the man brings the son to the disciples and says, I want you to heal my son. And the disciples are unable to heal him. The disciples are unable to cast out this evil spirit. And so the man goes to Jesus and he says, I took him to your disciples, but your disciples, they couldn't do it. And Jesus refers to them as a faithless and perverse generation, a faithless and twisted generation. Now, I've heard some pastors say before, he was talking to that man. Well, no, he wasn't talking to the man. I mean, imagine that. A man comes up to Jesus and says, I tried to take my son to your disciples and your disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus says, you twisted, perverse, faithless person. Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. No, Jesus was talking about the disciples. He called them faithless. And Jesus asks to see the boy. The boy is brought to Jesus and Jesus heals him immediately. But then the Bible tells us that later on in private, the disciples take Jesus aside and they said, listen, why couldn't we cast the demon out? And Jesus says, because of your little faith. Now, this brings us to our first point. We're talking about faith today. And I want us to look at, what does the Bible really say? What is Jesus really saying about this? Well, the first thing we find is this, that the presence of your faith matters more than the size of your faith. The presence of your faith matters more than the size of your faith. Notice what Jesus says to them, because of your little faith. In the original text, that's one word. It's like a hyphenated word, because of your little faith. This was a favorite term that Jesus used to refer to his disciples on numerous occasions. And he calls them, you may have seen it, O ye of little faith, O you of little faith. You find Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. He said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. It's when the storm was on the sea. In Matthew 14:31, Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him. That's when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter's walking with him. Peter starts to sink. And Jesus says to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Whenever they find another, there's another occasion where Jesus is with him in Matthew 16:8. But Jesus, aware of this, said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact you have no bread? And this was a favorite term. And the interesting thing is, it was two words combined together into one word. It's like Jesus was saying, you little faiths, little hyphen faiths, you little faiths, you little faiths, you people who have just little faith. And so often we look at that word little And we say, it just means they had a smaller degree of faith. But that's not what it means. The times that I've referenced this verse, I think I've referenced it with the wrong type of context. Because you find when Jesus says, you couldn't do it because of your little faith. That's the literal translation. You have the King James, and it says something completely different. King James, in this case, didn't get the literal right, but absolutely nailed the true meaning. In the King James, he says, because of your unbelief. You see, because what Jesus is saying, the words that he put together, it's not just a degree of faith. He's saying, you didn't have faith. Faith wasn't present when you tried to cast out this evil spirit. You weren't practicing faith. It's a faulty faith. It's not just a weak faith. It's a faith that is not connected with what I said you were going to be able to do. He's saying that the presence of your faith is more important than the size of your faith. It's sort of like this. They're saying, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? And he says, because of your lack of faith. Because of your unbelief. Now, I know the pushback on that statement is, but wait a minute. He says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move. See, he's comparing degrees. No, what he's saying is, if you had faith, even if you had just enough as a mustard seed, look at all that could take place. If you had faith, because here's what I think we do. And I think for years I thought about faith maybe in the wrong way. And I know any metaphor, it will fail if you take it way out there. But just follow with me. I think many of us think about faith as if we had a light bulb that's on a dimmer switch. And we say, well, I'm at this point and I'm at this brightness of my faith, so to speak. And I may not be as bright as this person, but I'm sure brighter than I used to be. And we just sort of adjust that. We go through periods where we're like, okay, my faith is turned up. My faith isn't really turned up. I got a really strong faith, and maybe my faith is kind of weak. And I'm going through a difficult time, and my faith is just sort of, my light's really, really dim. But then whenever I really am in God's word, and I'm really feeling close to him, my faith is really, really strong, and I'm shining very brightly. And I think that's the way we normally think about faith. Instead of thinking about it in a different way, instead of thinking about it in terms of, let's say there's a whole bunch of lights, and all of them have an on and off switch, and we have to say, this is the word of God, and this is what Jesus says about this. Do I believe that or not? Am I going to live that way or not? Click on, click off. So if you have great faith, the idea is that more of your light bulbs are on. It's not a matter of, well, I'm a whole lot further along than I was. Because if you believe in this type of faith, then you can excuse yourself from not practicing it. Well, you know, my light's not that bright, but I'll tell you, it sure is brighter than it was a few years ago. Well, I may not be practicing a lot of faith, but I sure have more faith than so-and-so has, because they're just acting faithlessly. When really and truly Jesus is saying, do you believe what I'm saying? Is the light bulb on when you hear the word of God and you hear his truth? Are you saying, that's what God says, click yes, or click no? Because with Jesus, you don't see him have that in between. It's like you believe or you don't. Why couldn't you cast those demons out? Because of your unbelief. Because your faith is faulty, because you're not truly practicing faith. And if you had faith, even a little sliver of faith, that would be plenty, because it wouldn't be, it's too dim, it's not bright enough. It would be yes or no, on or off, when it comes to the truths of the Word of God. Just ask yourself this. When you go through the Word of God and you read one of those difficult passages and you say, that is what God says, do you say, okay, I don't understand it, but okay. I don't understand it, but Lord, I'll follow you. I don't get it, but okay, that's what you say. Well, that means you've clicked your light bulb to the own position. It's not a matter of, well, I kind of believe that. I believe half of it, but I don't believe the whole of it. Well, you know what God would call that? Unbelief. There's either on or off so far as God's truth is concerned. The things that are clearly conveyed in God's word. Do I believe it or do I not? There's no, well, I'm kind of on the fence. No, there's no on the fence. There's no dimmer switch so far as that's concerned. How many times have I seen that over the years? And maybe you too. Maybe you even experienced it with people who come to faith. I'll have people who have sat in my office for years. I've had this. And they'll come and they'll say something like this. Well, when I was a kid, I gave my heart to Christ. I asked him to forgive me, and he did. But now I know so much more, and I'm so much farther along. I wonder if I meant it enough. Not did I do it for the right reasons. Not any other thing like that, but I wonder if I meant it enough. I just don't know if I meant it enough. I don't know if my light bulb was quite as bright as it should have been. What they're missing is the fact that you're either in or you're not. There's no dimmer on the light bulb. Jesus is saying, listen, disciples, if you had faith, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. If you had faith, you could have done that. You could have done even more if you just practiced faith. Which brings us to our next point. The idea of where does our faith come from and upon what do we focus our faith? The object of your faith determines the power of your faith. The object of your faith determines the power of your faith. It's not your faith itself. That's like having faith in faith. You don't have faith in faith. You have faith in God. It's like salvation. I've talked to many people and people have asked me, do you have confidence in your salvation? No. And people get very concerned. You don't have confidence in your salvation? Absolutely not. My confidence is in the God who gave me my salvation. I'm not banking on it because I have salvation. I'm trusting God who gave me my salvation in order to keep me safe based on what he says in his word. My confidence isn't in my salvation. My faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the God who reveals his word to me that I can then trust. My confidence in my salvation, no. My confidence in the God who gave me my salvation, yes. So I can trust what he says. I can trust what he does. And the object of your faith determines the power of your faith. Well, you say, but these disciples, they couldn't cast out a demon. Doesn't that sound logical? I mean, who would believe they could do that? Well, here's the only problem with that argument. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, and we're not going to look at that. You can jot it down. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus told them, you're going to go and cast out evil spirits. He told them. They received a report. They didn't respond in the right way, though. So then whenever it came down to the moment to actually do what Jesus has said they would be able to do, they couldn't do it. Why? Because they didn't trust the report they had received earlier. So it's always based upon receiving a report. But the idea is, it's the power of our faith is residing in the object of our faith. Not the size of our faith. Not our own abilities. Not, well, I got a whole lot of faith. If you have a whole lot of faith in the wrong thing, it really doesn't matter. If you were there and say we were going to climb up a mountain, and I know some of you said, I'd never do that, but let's just say you would. Let's say you were going to climb up a mountain, and let's say you had a rope, and this rope was all half knotted together, and it was frayed in different places, and you had it, and you'd carry it around with you. It was your favorite rope, and you'd had it for years, and you were going to climb a mountain with this frayed, half rat-eaten, kind of, you know, dry-rotted rope, and you were going to climb this mountain with this rope, and somebody looked at you and said, I really think you need a different rope. And you say, I have faith in my rope. I have complete and total trust in my rope. Does that mean that that rope is going to keep you safe? Not at all. Because it's the object of your faith. That is what we have to depend upon. So when we practice faith, we're not practicing faith based upon faith. We're practicing faith based upon what Jesus says. It's not the dimmer switch. It's the yes or no when it comes to what Jesus said. You read something that Jesus says, do you say, well, Jesus says, I can believe in him with this, so he's the object of my faith, so the power of my faith is not in the size of my faith, but it is in Jesus himself. Notice what he says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Why? Because it's not about the size of your faith. The power is found in the object of your faith. Back in Matthew chapter 8, we find another passage where there's a centurion. There's a Roman leader who comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I have a servant. My servant is at home. My servant is very sick. He's suffering greatly. I would like for you to heal him. And Jesus says, well, I'll go with you. And the centurion says, whoa, wait. Listen, I'm a man who's under authority. I got people under me. I'm a leader. I understand how this works. I give a command and it gets done. I understand this. So you have authority, Jesus. So all you have to do is you say the word and he'll be healed. Notice what happens. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, it says, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. Jesus says, I don't know of anybody. I have not met anybody. And this guy's not even a Jew. I've never met anybody who has this kind of faith. And then he tells him, he goes, okay, it's done. Go home. And he goes home and he finds that his servant's been healed. Because this servant understood it wasn't just the matter of his faith. It was the object of his faith. And he says, Jesus, I understand your power. I understand power. I understand authority. I understand who you are. And I understand all you have to do is just say it. You don't even have to be there. He understood it was the object of his faith. There's a parallel passage, the one that we talked about earlier in Matthew 17, in Mark chapter 11. Very similar. Jesus says in Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. And he goes on to say, truly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Notice he says, have faith in God. Set the object of your faith heavenward. Don't depend upon what you see. That's the essence of it, right? We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And with that in mind, Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You understand where the power of your faith comes from. You understand what the object of your faith is. You understand more accurately who the object of your faith is. And I will work. So many times we have faith in our faith. And Jesus says, you have to have faith in God. You have to have faith in me. Have faith in my word. What is it that God has shown you from his word and you have turned your dimmer switch and said, well, you know, I really need to follow that because, I mean, you know, I'm doing the best that I can right now. I'm just following as best I can. And I sure would like to be brighter, but my faith is just so weak. Basically, what you're saying is, Lord God, With that light that is connected to whatever that truth is, I'm just going to not believe and I'm going to keep it in the off position. Do you know what God convicted me of as I've been studying this over the last few weeks? Whenever I see something in God's word and I say, well, Lord, that's what you say. And I choose to say, but I'm not going to practice that. Then I'm choosing to say, God, I don't believe you. Because if I believed you, I'd follow you. If I believed you, I would do it. I'm willfully saying, God, I'm going to choose with this principle to allow that light bulb to be in the off position because I'm not going to follow you in that area. I'm just going to rebel. Now, I know we say, no, that's not what it is. It's just my light just may be a little dimmer. No. I'm choosing with that particular principle or that particular truth just to say, no. To God, I'm not going to follow you in that area. No. Listen, I want all my light bulbs to be on. I do. I want, so far as God's truth is concerned, for me to go, okay, yes. How's it going to work? I don't know, but I'm going to trust you. That's what you say. That's the essence of faith, receiving a report and responding in the right way. Nowhere in there does it say receiving a report and being able to figure out every little detail about how it's going to happen and then deciding to respond in the right way. No, I receive from him and then I respond in the right way. Where is it that maybe you're needing to respond in him, to respond to him in the right way? What light bulb has been in the off position that he's saying, you need to turn this on because this is my word, this is my truth. The last thing we find is this. The size of your difficulty reveals the reality of your faith. The size of your difficulty reveals the reality of your faith. You ever see someone who gets in a really difficult place and all they have left is dependence upon God? And God gets them to that place and then they'll say something like this. Once God stripped away all these things and he knocked out all my props, then I saw he's the only thing that I have. Can I just tell you, he doesn't have to knock out all your props and tear up all your foundations that you laid yourself for you to realize that he is the only one that you can depend upon and that you're desperate for him. It helps sometimes. But I've asked God, God, show me that I'm dependent upon you. Show me without the hurt. And a lot of times that doesn't work that way. A lot of times he gets you in a difficult position to show you. Notice these disciples. Why couldn't we cast out that demon? Peter, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Maybe we didn't pray the right prayer. James, what do you think? I don't know. I mean, did you hold your mouth right? Because, you know, that's really important. You know, that's what my granddaddy used to tell me. Why am I not catching fish? You're not holding your mouth right. I nearly got a cramp in my lips trying to figure out what that meant. Some of you have been there. You laugh because you know. James, what do you, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. Let's ask Jesus. Jesus, what particular thing did we not do in exactly the right way? And Jesus says, it's your unbelief. Oh, okay, well, that's helpful. But it is. Look, Jesus is saying, boys, you can't even cast out a demon. But I'm telling you, if you had faith, even a sliver of it, mountains would move. Over in Luke, you could speak to a mulberry tree. It would be uprooted and planted in the sea. Now, don't miss this. It's planted in the sea. It's not a matter of it would be picked up and tossed into the sea. No, planted. When's the last time you went to the seashore? When's the last time you went down to the Gulf of Mexico? When's the last time you went down to Florida and you were standing out there on the beach and you were like, oh, look at that tree out there planted on the waves? I'll give you the answer. Never. It doesn't happen. We know that trees don't just grow on waves. Just out there rooted in the sea. Jesus says, that's what you could do. If you had faith. If you had faith, you could just say, be planted in the sea. It's going to be planted in the sea. Mulberry tree's going to be growing out there on the waves. That's what you would see. And so Jesus says, listen, it's these size of your difficulty. This size of your difficulty, it's going to reveal whether or not you truly have faith. Whether or not you truly, truly believe, whether or not you say, I know I've received a report and I'm going to respond in the right way regardless of how it looks. No matter how impossible this looks, I'm going to trust you. If they can't handle a demon, they certainly can't cast mountains about. You find in James chapter 1, verse 2, this is why James says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That you may be completely and totally mature. When those trials come and the difficulty comes and the mountain seems way too tall in front of you. And God says, is that light bulb on or not? Not, well, I just need to increase the intensity of the bulb. No, it just means I'm going to choose to obey even the most difficult things that God has shown me in his word. By the way, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can't practice faith in the word of God if you're not in the word of God. You have to be in the word of God and know the word of God and know what God says in order to have faith in what God says. That's the reason when we talk about growing our faith, well, God's just growing my faith. He's not going to grow your faith apart from the truth of his word. He's not going to. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by receiving the Word of God. So we have to stay in the Word of God. And that is what prepares us for our lives. That's what prepares us for those difficulties that come. Because whenever we face those difficulties, they're going to put to test the reality of our faith, whether our light bulbs are on or not. Here recently, a mentor of mine, we were having a conversation on the phone, and he brought up a passage. He brought up a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's talking about Israel. It's talking about Israel's days, and metaphorically, it refers to God as an eagle who is there with young Israel. And it says in Deuteronomy 32, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on pinions, the Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest. And my friend and mentor said, you need to look that up. Look it up. Yeah, just need a... You know, you used to be a science teacher. What do you know about eagles? Not a lot. You need to look it up. So he proceeded to give me a little bit of truth on the subject. Then I went and I looked it up. Well, eagle parents, when a little eaglet is born, the parents will bring that eagle, that little eaglet, they will bring it food, bring it meat to eat. And then as that young eagle develops, the parents will come and they will drop the food on the far side of the nest. And they will increasingly allow that food to be more and more whole. They won't shred it up for them like they did. They're giving them solid food that they're having to tear apart themselves. And they also have to cross the nest to get to it. And then it reaches a point that one of the parents will come and he or she won't go into the nest, but just sort of hover kind of on the side of the nest and hold that meat right outside of the eaglet's reach. So that little eagle has to start flapping its own wings to try to reach up and get the food. And then there comes a point in time where the mama eagle and the daddy eagle, they come to the nest and they start stirring up the nest. All the soft feathers and everything, all the soft grasses that they have used to line that nest, they start tearing them out and throwing them out of the nest, leaving nothing but sticks and hard pieces of wood and things like that that they've used to build that nest. They start tearing out the lining, making the nest more and more uncomfortable. They stir up the nest until it reaches a point that young eagle gets so uncomfortable in the nest, until it reaches a point that those eagles start bringing less and less food back to the nest because they're wanting to give those young eagles a very special gift. That's the gift of flight. Because otherwise, that eagle would stay right there in that nest and let its parental eagles come and just feed them, and they would never learn how to fly. But the beautiful thing is, we find in Deuteronomy 32 in that passage that it says that they will bear them up, they will lift them up on pinions. Those are the flight feathers of an eagle. When those young eagles take flight and their strength starts to flag and they start to drop a little bit, one of those parents will swoop under them and lift them up on eagle's wings, like we find in Isaiah chapter 40. And that's the same thing that God does with us. Sometimes the size of that difficulty is going to reveal the reality of our faith. And that difficulty and God stirring up our nests and disrupting our comfort and tearing out all of the things that we depend upon can get us to a point that we say, okay, God, yes. What? Yes. And he may say, it's time to fly. It's time to stretch your wings of faith and trust what I say. Trust who I am. Trust my plan. Trust that I am the Lord God over the whole universe. It's not a matter of the size of your faith. Jesus isn't talking about turning the dimmer switch up on your faith. In fact, in the passage we looked at, when disciples come to Jesus in Luke, the parallel passage, or not the parallel passage, but a similar passage, and they said, increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you'd be able to say to this tree, be planted, and it would be done. They're saying, increase our faith. Jesus, turn up our dimmer switch to make us brighter. And Jesus says, listen, you need some lights flipped on. You need to believe who I am and what I say. Where is it that God may be leading you to step out in faith? What switch has been in the off position for far too long? And you know in God's word, this is what God says, that you need to say, I choose today, yes. I choose today, Lord God, that I will let that light shine and that I'm going to say yes to you. Where is it maybe in your life that you've looked at the whole idea of faith as, well, I'm not as much as I need to be, but I'm a whole lot better than I have been. Maybe you need to switch your thinking to, where is it in God's word? Is there anything in God's word that I am saying, God, I'm not gonna follow you there. God, that's a no. That's a hard no for me. And in that area, that means we're practicing unbelief. And God wants us to believe the whole of what he says about who he is and what he's done and what he will do. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never said a yes to God so far as following him as Savior. Maybe you've never said yes to the incredible gift of salvation that Jesus is offering, and he's saying, I died for you. Is your light bulb on with that? That he's God himself, that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that if we come to him in repentance, we will be saved. And I pray that if you've never said a yes to that, you've never turned that switch on any of those truths, I pray today would be the day that we do that. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. God, our whole faith, every aspect of our faith depends upon your word. And so, Father, may we be people of your word, and then, because of that, people of faith, that we hear your word, we read your word, we know your word, and we trust it. It's not a matter of that old saying that we see on so many bumper stickers, that God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No. God, you said it. That settles it. Whether I believe it or not does not change the truth of your word. Whether I believe it or not will change the way I live my life. It will change the way that I trust you. It will change how I practice my faith, but it doesn't change the truth. And so, Father, I pray that we be found faithful. And by faithful, I mean we receive your word and we respond in the right way. And so, Father, I pray today that you would give boldness to anyone who needs to respond in any area of life in faith. Whether that's something they need to do at work, something they need to do among in their private life, with their family. Maybe some need to receive you as Savior. Maybe some need to be baptized. Maybe some need to join the church. Maybe some just need to say, from now on, Lord God, I'm gonna pray. I've been prayerless. And maybe there are people here who say, God, there are just some areas that I'm just faithless in that area. Father, I pray that you would grant us to be people who see mountains moved, not because of the size of our faith, but because of the size of our God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond during this time as God leads. If you have something you'd like to pray about,